It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the fan, WFAN.
Good morning, good morning. Mic check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8. 9, 10. I got my different headphones on here. Hold on. Back-to-back overnights. Let's get right. Keith McPherson on the fan. We're going to do it again. 12 to 5. We've got plenty to talk about, plenty to unpack. And AMKM, I'm going to bore you with sports talk. You're going to go right to bed. You're going to sleep good tonight because this guy is just going to keep it to the sports. I can't even, like, try to come up with, like, segments or ideas or things to get us off of sports. Maybe they'll come up naturally. But I just think there's enough to talk about in New York sports and the world wide world of sports. I just think there's enough going on. I woke up to the news of Tony Clark today. I don't think it's that big of a deal for baseball fans to be in peril. But we'll start there, and I'll get to, you know, the two things that I think people are going to call 888-808-1019 about. But yeah, Tony Clark to resign as executive director of the MLB Players Association. You know, when you see Tony Clark, it's like it's fight night between him and Rob Manfred. That's who they do the face off with. Put your dukes up. It's Manfred versus Tony Clark in the negotiations in the lockout. It's Manfred representing the owners and Tony Clark representing the players. Well, no more. Tony Clark is expected to resign. And he led the union since 2013. His reported departure comes amid heightened labor rhetoric, expectations of a possible lockout by owners, and an ongoing federal investigation. Now, I'm wondering why. Like, what's going on? Why now? And I think it being February and the lockout not coming until December 1st, I think it's a good thing. At least it's going to be months for them to figure out who steps in and who the guy needs to be. But I'm just kind of wondering why this went on or what went on. And then more came out today around Tony Clark and him having some kind of a relationship with his sister-in-law. Come on, Tony. I'm like, oh, man. Like, these guys always seem to get caught up. And there's a woman involved. I guess we're going off on a tangent now. It made me think about, and I know it's not as serious, and we don't know all of the details, but it made me think about the former Michigan coach, Sharon Moore, and how caught up he got, and how he fumbled his bag and his opportunity over a chick. And then, I don't know, I was talking about this out loud, and I didn't even think about it. My wife is like, wait, it's his sister-in-law? Is it his wife's sister or his brother's wife? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to get that deep into it. But supposedly he was using, money to, I guess, you know, using money on himself and having this relationship with this woman who is his sister-in-law. And I guess she also worked. Here's the quote. MLBPA, coming from Jeff Passan, MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark resigned after an internal investigation revealed that he had an inappropriate relationship with his sister-in-law who had been hired by the union in 2023. So yeah, it made me think about Sharon Moore, who hired his assistant and her salary doubled and somebody flagged that and are like, hey, what is going on here? Fellas, a little bit of advice. In the workplace, these things that you think aren't going to come to light, these relationships, these situations, they're no good. Stay away from them. Stay away. It's not worth it. 888-808-1019. So, I think Tony Clark just steps away to not be a distraction. And my question to you guys as I was thinking about the lockout and what's to come, like, I don't know if this is necessarily a good or bad thing. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Maybe somebody else is going to come in that's going to be better. But this is one of the main guys. This is a guy that they need. Like, we're locking out regardless, and I think it's going to take a while. So my question, you know, along with that storyline is, what are you guys going to do without baseball? I started thinking about it. I'm like, I think I'm going to finally drop my mixtape. I think I finally got to drop the mixtape, make it sound like an album. I got to get to rapping with all that free time. What are you guys going to do without the start of baseball season? What are you guys going to do without spring training to go to? It's gonna cut into probably spring training. It's going to take them a while to figure this out. 888-808-1019. What are you guys going to do when there's no baseball, when you can't fly down to Port St. Lucie, you can't fly down to Tampa, when you can't go to opening day? I'm going to get more into my cooking skills. I'm going to get more into my daddy dinners, whipping it up. You know, that's the side of me people don't get to see too much, me making dinner every night. Yeah, I'm gonna get more into being a chef and a cook. But anyway, you know, speaking of spring training and baseball and the Mets and the Yankees, we're in it now. We're in it now. Carlos Mendoza was on the Carton Show today. We will play some of the clips from Mendy. You know, he laughed off Craig talking about politics being an issue in the clubhouse, which, like, I mean, you can laugh it off, but that was a story that we all heard. You can laugh it off, but, I mean, it doesn't matter now. And my question to the Met fan is, how are we so sure that this clubhouse is going to be better? This locker room vibe is going to be better? We're not. We got to wait and see. And, you know, with Mendoza speaking today, he also let us know about some injuries. You know, guys that are just going to be slow playing it to start with the Mets. We'll talk about that. We'll play some clips from Luis Robert. What I've been saying about the Mets is that they're starting over. But they're starting over with talent. They're starting over with peloteros. They're starting over with great players. And I think the professionalism of those great players coming from other places should bode well for the Mets. And that, you know, it won't be so much of a, it's not a rebuild, it's a retool. And I think they stand to be better than last year, and the bar from last year is pretty low. But you might be looking over at Pete Alonso. You might be looking at what you had as an article came out today, and I think I just heard Lugie talking about it, but it was trending on Twitter about Pete Alonso embracing his new home with the Orioles. And Pete Alonso's quote, "For me, there's no need to think about the what ifs and the hypotheticals because I'm so appreciated here in Baltimore." Like, do you think that adds a chip to Pete Alonso's shoulder? Do you think that is a motivating factor for Pete Alonso this year? I'm going to go prove to the Mets that I still got it. I'm appreciated here. I'm going to go harder for my new team. They didn't ever really want me. They changed that team around me so much, they paid everybody else. I'm going to go show the league that I'm still Pete Alonso, the polar bear, and who I don't know. I don't know. 888-808-1019. Speaking of chips on their shoulder, this is my main thing for the Open tonight as I was putting things together. Why do you hate Anthony Volpe so much? Don't all jump me at once. Why has Anthony Volpe become such a whipping boy? Like, Anthony Volpe is more of a whipping boy than Trent Grisham. And whipping boy is my phrase that I brought to the fan. I always hear a lot of guys use that. I think I hear Evan use it sometimes. And it's just a good phrase for the guy that takes the brunt of the criticism, the, you know, the ire and the hate from the fan base. They post a video of Anthony Volpe walking into spring training and the comments are all, "This guy's a bum. He's terrible. Get him out of here. Get him off my team." Why do you hate Anthony Volpe to this point? To this, like, it's been three seasons, 23, 24, 25. Why do you hate Anthony Volpe so much? Anthony Volpe is going to be back, and I think he might be back sooner rather than later. Who knows? He could be back before Lindor. And today some stuff came out that makes me think they're going to fast track him. the amount of Yankee fans that wanted Bo Bichette or wanted anyone in here, wanted a trade for a shortstop, that want Caballero to be the shortstop. One, as you know, we talk about Volpe in the shortstop position, right? This offseason they were not trying to improve the shortstop position. They didn't view Bo Bichette as a shortstop. Caballero they got last year, admitting somewhat that, you know, Volpe wasn't the answer alone, and they needed to spell him and they needed another option after he led the American League in errors. after he had the labrum issue. But, you know, he came out and said he was surprised when he woke up from surgery and learned the extent of the damage in his shoulder with the torn labrum, which Yankee said was worse than imaging suggested. The shortstop wouldn't use it as an excuse for how he played in 2025, though. So he's had this shoulder repaired. He's not using it as an excuse. And if you heard Aaron Boone speak about it as well, they said he was good. To me, I thought it was an easy out. Not even an easy out, I just thought it was an out. Volpe was struggling. You could have shut him down, but he kept playing. And, you know, they said that they checked on him. They said that he was good. But, you know, speaking of the chip on Pete Alonso's shoulder, feeling like, you know, the organization that he came up in, homegrown Met, you know, they didn't support him. They didn't appreciate him. They didn't want to pay him, didn't want him. Anthony Volpe's got the opposite, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. Anthony Volpe told Gary Phillips today, "The chip on my shoulder, the chip I have on my shoulder, has been there my whole life, my whole career. I just can't wait to go back out there and play and feel good and perform and help the team win. Because at the end of the day, if I do that and I play the way I know I can play, everything will take care of itself. And I appreciate everything. I appreciate the accountability. I appreciate everything that comes with being the shortstop for the New York Yankees, so I wouldn't trade it for the world." Why do you hate Anthony Volpe so much? 888-808-1019. Is it because of the local ties? Is it because of the one of us? One of us. Because a lot of us grew up thinking that we could be the shortstop of the New York Yankees, the next Derek Jeter, and he actually ended up being the guy to do it. There are pictures of him and his family young in old Yankee Stadium. There are pictures of him growing up in the stadium. You know, his family, they know a lot of people in the Yankee universe, myself included. And, you know, my ties to the Volpe family have nothing to do with, like, what I'm talking about. This is a real question I have for Yankee fans. Why are you already done? Why are you already saying this kid is a bust? Get him out of here. We don't want to see him. 3 years is enough. Because I'm telling you tonight, he's coming back sooner rather than later. Like, I'm telling you tonight, his teammates love him. Aaron Judge loves him. He's been down there in Tampa with the team. And I know his work ethic and him being young, he's healing up and he's preparing to take his spot back, to be the everyday shortstop for the New York Yankees. And Caballero, honestly, I don't look at Caballero as a guy that's supposed to be, and if you've heard me on The Fan recently or any podcast or stuff I do, I keep saying that you're going to probably want another option by May after watching Caballero play shortstop every single day. He's supposed to be a utility guy. He's an agitator on the base paths. He's agitating, like he's going to get thrown out. He's going to get picked off of first. He's going to get thrown out of games, being a hothead with umpires. He's not really anybody's starting shortstop. Your starting shortstop is Anthony Volpe, whether you like it or not. If you're a Yankee fan, that is your starting shortstop in this run-it-back season, in this window with Aaron Judge, where you got to win a World Series. They got to win a World Series for Aaron Judge. That is the guy that they chose. They passed on a lot of potential shortstops in the last few years. They drafted Volpe. They developed Volpe. He is theirs. They are not quitting on him. They don't care if you show up to Yankee Stadium to boo him. They don't care if you're on Twitter all day talking about how much you hate Anthony Volpe. They are lining this up for Anthony Volpe to come back very quickly. Very quickly. So I know I talked about how, you know, they could manipulate his service time where if he gets optioned and spends 20 days in the minors, he would hit free agency in 2029 and not 2028. I expect them to do that. I think that would be smart business to do that. But then after that time is up, they're going to send him. But yeah, Anthony Volpe is not using the injury as an excuse for last year's struggles. He struck out a bunch. I think last night I said he struck out 120 times, and then I went and looked at it. I think he struck out like 150 times. Brutal. Brutal. And he was an automatic out in the postseason. But this is a guy that hit a grand slam in the World Series. This is a guy that won a Gold Glove. This is a guy that the Yankees believe there is elite level play in. But, like, he's got to overcome this injury and overcome the fans, and I feel like it's going to take so much for him to do that with the fans against him. I hated it for the kid because what I say about Volpe is he grew up a Yankee fan. His family are all Yankee fans. It's part of his, you know, how he was raised, how he was brought up, how the game was taught to him. So the pressure, right, the pinstripes are heavy. They're even heavier for somebody that's from the area whose whole family is Yankee fans. When he first came up and was competing against IKF and Peraza for the shortstop job, he was wearing 77 in spring training. He impressed everybody that spring training, hitting for power, hitting doubles, stealing bases. The Yankees took the 77 off of him and said, no, we're going to put you in 11 because we're going to sell number 11 Volpe jerseys. And he wanted to wear 7-7-7 for Mickey Mantle from what, you know, his grandfather taught him and passed down to him. And I know he carries the weight of the fan base. He carries, like, I'm sure all of his homies, all of his friends, all of his boys that he played high school with are Yankee fans too. So nobody wants to win more than Anthony Volpe because he literally can never escape it. He literally can't escape. He can't go home. And, you know, some of these guys have family members that they're not thinking about the Yankees. They're not thinking about the game. So what will it take for Yankee fans to come off of Anthony Volpe, to get off his back? I'm telling you, he's going to be the shortstop for most of the year this year. 888-808-1019. We'll start there. If you have any takes and thoughts on Tony Clark, I just think that, like, the initial news break is, uh-oh, you know, the Players Association doesn't have their guy, but they will have another guy or multiple guys, and it shouldn't matter so much. I think him stepping down, that's a personal issue. He's got his own stuff going on. It shouldn't affect the lockout and the negotiations with the owners and Manfred too much. But I wanted to start with Anthony Volpe as he's in camp and he's doing drills. And the whole thing is, like, he's got to be medically cleared to fall on that shoulder. And I think that's, like, the last hurdle here. And some of you might have been thinking he's coming back in June or May. I think season starts fast. It starts on March 25th. And I think you can expect to see Anthony Volpe sooner rather than later. So deal with it. Get over it. And call me and tell me why you hate the guy and why you don't want him to be your shortstop. And what are the other options? How do you see it changing? 888-808-1019. We're wide open now. Keep McPherson on the Fan doing the overnight. You got me till 5 a.m. Call me up. We'll cue up some audio from Carlos Mendoza. We'll cue up some audio from Giancarlo Stanton. And there's a bunch of other things to talk through the night as we get to the morning time, 5 a.m. It is the morning time. Good morning. Good morning. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.